The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Continue today with European Culture Appreciation Week. Robert, get to the better part, please. I mean, the opening is so dull you can die waiting for it. Let's get it to the real crescendo so the average jerk in a car can understand they're listening to commercial radio, that they're not in a bad music appreciation class in Brooklyn College in 1953. Let's start the show again. Hello, welcome to the Savage Nation. All right, you get the picture. You understand the difference between that and the, let us say, the prison music that passes for music in America? You know, think of the word music. Muse, muse, muse. It's supposed to amuse you, or is it supposed to lift you up? But it's supposed to move you, other than push you down into the gutter to use drugs and to roll in the gutter like a dog. So that's why we have European Cultural Appreciation Week on the Savage Nation. Now, we open with this topic. I was going to open with the Republican National Committee in their spokesmouth, Rince Prius. I don't really know how he got a name like that, but Rince Prius is the head of the RNC. He was against Trump before he was for Trump, and now he's for Trump, even though he's really against Trump. And he comes out after they fired Trump's campaign manager, an all-around good guy, Lewandowski. I never met Lewandowski either, by the way, but I know he ran a good campaign. They threw him out, marched him out of the door, threw him in the street, and Rince Prius, the head of the RNC, congratulates Trump for doing it in an almost eerie admission that it's the Republican National Committee behind Trump right now. Listen to clip one.
I talked to the campaign over the weekend. I talked to him on Monday, but today. But this is a new direction for the campaign. I think, you know, when you look at the shift from a primary election over to the general election, this is sort of the professionalization sort that of. Continues the sort pivot of. To the presidential. I think it's a good pivot. Sign, I think, good for sign. The campaign. Paul Manafort's a pro. I Pro. Think by building the apparatus around apparatus. Someone who's been through a presidential campaign is a good thing.
Paul Manafort is a pro. Now, he ran the Bob Dole campaign. He ran the Gerald Ford campaign. If that's the kind of pro that Donald's picked, I'm not so sure that it's a good pick. But nevertheless, he says, I think it's good building the apparatus around someone who has been through a presidential campaign. The whole reason we like Donald is he doesn't have an apparatus. He didn't use an apparatus. He didn't use a teleprompter. Well, I'm afraid, my friends, those days are now over. I'm going to support Trump right to the wire, don't get me wrong. But I can tell you right now, forget the wall, forget the banning of Muslims, forget most of what you heard, and if you get 50% on the dollar, you'll be better off than you get from Hillary, which is less than 100 on the dollar. You'll get minus 100 with her. So there's the choice right now. That's the end of that topic. Don't call me on a goodbye. Here's another topic. On my Facebook page, here's the headline, CAIR, C-A-I-R, the front group for Hamas, CAIR, the unindicted co-conspirator, well known to the old FBI, and I don't mean the FBI under J. Edgar Hoover, I mean the FBI before Obama took over. CAIR put Michael Savage on their hit list. I read the list, I couldn't believe it was on this list. They call us all Islamophobia Network's outer core. Now, to me, this is something that I'm going to go to a lawyer for, because I'd like to know how I live in a country where those of us who are concerned about preventing the next terrorist attack and uncovering the Muslims amongst us who will kill us, how we have become the enemy to this questionable front group for Hamas. And so I wrote this on my Facebook page. CAIR put me on their hit list. I read the I said, read the following and ask yourself if CAIR is working for or against our national security. Ask why the Obama government permits these apologists for radicals to publish such hate lists, and why Obama and CAIR want me and others silenced or worse. And I link to a jihadwatch.org article. It's astonishing. It says, in wake of Orlando massacre, Hamas-linked CAIR issues new Islamophobia report. So instead of talking about helping the government, as we've been told Muslims will do, get rid of the next terrorist, they're now singling out those of us who have been raising the alarm bells for years. So I want to read you the groups in the Islamophobia Network's outer core, according to this group of rats. And they are rats as far as I'm concerned. They're moles as far as I'm concerned. And they're operating at very high levels. They're instructing the FBI. They're instructing the CIA. They're instructing the Defense Department. This is how far this has gone. So here are the people on the Islamophobia Network's outer core. Now, as I read this list to you, I want you to note that there are people in talk radio who are on the list, which is nice to see, but none of my competitors for the award are on this list. No one from NPR is on the list, as you can understand why. The number one competitor I have in talk radio is not on the list, which is very interesting. You know what I'm talking about? What award? What award am I talking about, Robert? The National Radio Hall of Fame Award. You go to 36500 and Tech Savage. My number one competitor in talk radio is not on this list. I wonder why. But here are the names of the people that those in care say are a threat to America because they're in the Islamophobia Network outer core. Adelson Family Foundation, Allegheny Foundation, American Center for Law and Justice, American Family Association, American Islamic Leadership Coalition, Bible Believers, Cherna Moskowitz Foundation, Christian Action Network, Christian Broadcasting Network, Concerned Women for America, Donors Capital Fund, Eagle Forum, Endowment for Middle East Truth, Family Security Matters, PM, I think it's the FMPM Kirby Foundation, Fox News Channel with no one named, Front Page Magazine, Glenn Beck Program, Government Is Not God Pack, HBO's Real Time with, I don't even want to read his name, Joyce and Donald Rumsfeld Foundation, Klarman Family Foundation, Liberty Council, Linda and Harry Bradley Foundation, National Christian Foundation, National Review, Newton D. and Rochelle F. Becker Foundation, Oak Initiative, Randall Foundation, have you gone to sleep yet? Really Big Coloring Books, Inc., Reclaiming America for Christ, Rush Limbaugh Show, Russell Berry Foundation, Sarah Scafie Foundation, Savage Nation, Security Solutions International, Traditional Values Coalition, Truth and Love Project, Washington Times and WND. This is a list of the enemies of care, and they claim we are Islamophobic. And they published this list a few days after the slaughter in Orlando. This list, I believe, is the only list of valuable organizations in the United States of America. And this is a list of people and organizations that should be respected, not reviled. But we have a government that is upside down. So that's topic number one. I mean, I don't know what you can say about it, so I'm not going to ask you to call on it. We'll talk about it over the time period that remains on the show, which is quite a long period of time. And at the bottom of the hour, I have my attorney, Daniel Horowitz, on the show to talk about terrorism and the law. What are your rights? Because I saw a weird article this morning by a guy named Glenn Greenwald, who I don't know who he is. I think he's a liberal guy who writes for the Washington Post. And he said the FBI was right not to arrest Omar Mateen before the shooting. In other words, he's an apologist for terrorists, and he's hiding it under the guise of civil liberties. And I've seen this kind of thing before. You know, my friends, I'm very concerned about a government putting people on watch lists and preventatively detaining them, because I recognize that that can turn on any one of us at any time. I'm very concerned about a government saying you can't buy a gun. Now we'll get your attention. If you're put on a terror watch list, because the government is the one who decides who should be on a terror watch list, not any by any rational analysis. They just didn't put anyone on it. Then you wouldn't be able to buy guns or ammunition. So this guy Greenwald says the FBI was right not to arrest Omar Mateen before the shooting. He's 100% wrong. And my attorney, Daniel Horowitz, who knows much more about the law than Glenn Greenwald, I can guarantee you, will explain why Omar Mateen should not only have been on the watch list, but he should have been followed by an FBI agent every step of the way with his phone calls monitored virtually 24/7. That's the only way to stop the next attack. That's a very big topic which we'll touch on. Now, here are the other topics that caught my attention. 4,948,000 illegal aliens are eligible for amnesty. 5 million illegals are eligible for amnesty. The Supreme Court is writing its decision on President Underminer's illegal immigrant amnesty program. 5 million aliens would be eligible if he gets away with this. Now, let's go back to the strange death of the Supreme Court justice who was found dead in a shady motel on the Mexican border. Remember, there was no autopsy done? Do you know that if a bum is found dead in the streets of New York, the medical examiner must, by law, perform an autopsy? Do you remember the case of the Supreme Court justice who was found dead in a motel? Duh. What motel? What Supreme? What's his name? I don't remember anyone by that name. Who? Scalion? Justice Scalion? Or Justice Onion? It was Justice Antonin Scalia, a great jurist, was found dead with a pillow over his head in a motel, and it was hushed up by the vermin in the propaganda media. The worms, the solenter, it's the bed bugs. What can I say to you? If a bum is granted an autopsy, why would a Supreme Court justice be cremated immediately and his remains taken away? Why? What happened down there? Well, we don't know what happened. It could have been by natural causes. He could have been killed. We don't know. But we do know that after he died, that one crucial vote that stood between us and total anarchy was eliminated. And I told you when it happened, watch what happens next. If you remember my show, I'm just simply an analyst. I said now that it's 4-4, Obama's amnesty program is coming up just in time for the election. Watch what happens. Follow the bouncing corpse. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be back right here on your local station.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Oh, this is European Culture Appreciation Week. We will include Motley Crue, because as I think about it, everything on that motorcycle was invented by Europeans. The tires, the engines, the chrome process, the chain. Virtually everything is from the European cultural background, so why not have, the song? So look, those are some of the topics. I realize it doesn't matter. You know, people die, and, you know, people die every day, and it's the 21st of June, and school is out, and the Ritalin's being supplied, and the Adderall is out there, and the parents are on their drugs, and the children are on their meds, and they're about to go on a summer vacation. Why do they care about what happened in Orlando? Do they even know what happened in Orlando? What percent of Americans do you think even know what happened and who committed the crime? The propaganda and cover-up by the media is so immediate. There's a Fareed Zakariyah, for example, a bug, if I ever saw one. You look at his eyes, you know he's a bug job. From my point of view, the eyes say everything. I look at Zakariyah, I see a mental case. Here's a guy who does a piece on CNN about how Islamophobia was created by Americans in World War II, and that there is no terrorism in Islam. It's only a small number of people within Islam who don't even know what Islam is. And this is passed for the truth on CNN every day. So how many really remember Orlando? They don't even know what Orlando is. You say Orlando, they think Disneyland. Is there any association in the American mind of Orlando and Islamic terror? Or is it still Orlando and Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck? They still see Mickey. I mean, it's called branding. You say Orlando, they see Mickey. And that's because they didn't want you to associate Orlando with the slaughter of innocents, especially tied to any particular religion or any particular creed or any particular country of origin. In that sense, we're all terrorists. Everyone's a terrorist. It's just a few people actually go ahead and do it. Yeah, okay, right. That's the way it is. But, you know, I was watching a show last night to switch to television on History Channel about the barbarians fighting the Romans. It was an astounding reproduction. I mean, the acting was awesome. I don't know how they do these shows, what it must cost them to produce it. So, you know, I've talked about the barbarians and ancient Rome and history many, many times in the show. But how they act this out is amazing. How the Goths were on one side of the river, and they were defeated by the Romans, and they were starving to death. The Romans were on the other side. The Roman Empire had spread so far and so wide that they had beat these heathens, the Goths, back. The Goths were basically tribal people who were not Romans, so they considered them barbarians. Anyone who was not a Roman was a barbarian, so the Goths were there on the other side of the river, and they're so decimated and so starving, and now they're threatened by a new force. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes the Mongol hordes. And the Mongols are so insane. The things that were done to the Goths have never been seen before in any form of rampage. Things that I couldn't believe a human would do to another human. And I can't even repeat them on this national show, but I'll give you an example. Okay, forget burning the villages to the ground. Okay, forget taking the children from a village and putting them in a cart to use them for dog meat. I don't know, can you believe what I just said to you? Live human children of the Goths were taken by the Mongols and used for dog food by the Mongols. They would capture the women and remove, I can't even say it, and take a certain part of their anatomy off their body and sew them to the mouths of the women. That's what the Mongols were doing. So the Goths who were starving had no choice. They were trapped between the Romans on one side of the river. So the leader of the Goths goes over to the Roman emperor and offers to give up if they'll give them, you know, let's say sanctuary. Well, the Romans stabbed them in the back. And then eventually there's a slave uprising and the emperor himself is burned to death. So all I can say is there's only so much people will take.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
See, the reason we're not going to go by the way of England is that we're armed to the teeth. And we also have a history of violence that's quite current. Most of these other pacifist nations in Europe don't really have a history of violence, and they had no Second Amendment. And so they were rolled over to the evil doers rapidly. They rolled over to oven stuffer like Merkel, Quislings like Cameron. They were able to roll them over like this. So anyway, there's a big vote this week. It's either Brexit or Brisket coming up. They're being told that unless they vote for against Brexit, there'll be no Brisket. And George Soros is hedging his bet. He's bought futures in Brisket and on Brexit, I'm pretty sure. Of course, he's the man behind it all, in my opinion. He's the reason the world is in shambles. And he's made a pretty penny at it, too. Oh, yeah, that's how I see it. So my folks, my friends, folks, you cannot believe what's going on in the show right now. You know that every day when I'm really fired up, we have 18 calls sitting and waiting, and I don't take them for 3 hours. I just cannot believe it. Today there are no callers, not one. And they are calling. You won't believe the things they tell my call screener. Can you ask Dr. Sack? I'm talking, well, listen, as I mentioned the Trump campaign. I mentioned CARE as a front group. I mentioned 5 million illegals eligible for amnesty. I talk about Scalia's strange death. I talk about so many topics. And they're asking questions like, can you ask Dr. Savage if the full moon explains why my hemorrhoids are acting up? He's getting calls like that. Or I have a weird twitch in my right eye. Is there a vitamin I can take for it? I'm telling you, there's something weird in the world. Either everyone's on vacation or the network cut me off and there really isn't any show and it's all an imaginary virtual show. That I'm looking at Robert and Jim on a screen, but there's no one there in Dallas, and there's no show anymore. I'm just staring at Robert and Jim, who are actually not even there. It's just a vision of them in another room. They're not even in Dallas. And there is no Savage Nation anymore. How do I know? Maybe there was no moon landing. Maybe it was Capricorn 1. Maybe this is Savage 1. Maybe you're all in a madhouse, and you're imagining you're listening to me. That you're not even... Maybe there's no radio show. Maybe you're in a nut house, and you're imagining you're listening to a guy who's telling you the truth. It's so raw, it's so real, it may as well be imaginary. Because, I mean, you look at the media, you turn it on, there's nothing there. It's like butter, you can push your hand right through it. There's nothing to listen to. We have with us my good friend and my esteemed attorney, Daniel Horowitz, to talk about terrorism and the law. What are your rights? Daniel Horowitz, welcome to the Savage Nation. Daniel?
Michael, great to be here. Although you upset me a minute ago talking about the Mongols and the Goths, that really was powerful.
Well, I am a student of popular history, and I love these reenactments, whether it be of the Civil War and what it was fought for, and look what became of the country, and Hitler was, Hitler's horrors against humanity are well known, as they should be. But we have no idea what human beings are capable of doing to others. We have only an idea of it as we see the Muslim mass murders around the globe. They are very much, in my mind, the ones who do this, like the, I don't know who to compare them with. I would say the Mongols are a good comparison. Their absolute lack of humanity. And that leads us to this weird article by a guy named Glenn Greenwald, who says the FBI was right not to arrest Omar Mateen before the shooting. Do you believe that?
No, I think that they should have arrested him for conspiring to commit acts of terrorism. He fit the profile of a terrorist to the T. One of his own Muslim mosque-goers turned him into the FBI as a suspected potential terrorist. And then he's going around scouting Disneyland and bars and trying to buy guns. That is an attempted act of terrorism, and the FBI could have arrested him and charged him, and there'd be 50 people alive today who are...
All right, listen to this, Danny. Hillary Clinton this week proposed an intelligence surge to halt plots before they can be carried out, which I agree with. Donald Trump called for more intelligence activity to, quote, give law enforcement and the military the tools they need to prevent terrorist attacks. But this moron, Glenn Greenwald, this lightweight, low IQ writer for the Post says, this is wrong. And based on what we know, the FBI acted properly. Agents have the power they need, he writes, and they were right to close the case on Mateen. So he's saying he's right even though he killed all those people? What's wrong with liberals, Dan? You and I both know that you come from a very liberal background. A good many of your family members are tremendous people, and I don't have to mention them by name or association, one of whom is a great war hero, yet he's still a liberal. Do they still think this way?
Well, no, they've got great reservations about the surge of Islamic ideology that uses religion as a way to get into the minds of these psychopaths and then stir them to kill, because that's what all of these Hitlerites do. They take people who are very easy to manipulate, they feed them an ideology, they turn them into killers, and that's what's being done with Islam. And it's very obvious. You can't separate terrorism from Islam. And when you look at it from a criminal case, from a law enforcement point of view, strip out the fact that it's a religion and just say, what are they teaching? What acts are people doing once they listen to the ideology? And you have a criminal conspiracy to murder, slaughter, torture, rape, and maim. And anybody who participates is joining this vast conspiracy. You have to put aside your political liberalism and just say, if there is an international conspiracy to take over the world, then anyone who participates is joining the vast conspiracy and should be arrested.
So this character for the Washington Post says, no minimally free society can prevent all violence. That's, of course, a homily. And he says, in the U.S., we do not hold suspects for crimes they have not committed. First of all, that's not true, is it? Isn't it not true? Can the police detain someone who is on a list, let us say, let's say a child molester? Aren't child molesters on perennial watch lists?
That's right, and they can be locked up even after their jail terms are served just because they're a threat.
All right, so this guy is completely wrong where he says in the United States we do not hold suspects for crimes they have not committed. I know that's a lie, because in the case of child molestation, rightly so, they keep people away from children and they keep them on a constant watch list, as they should. So why shouldn't we do the same thing for those who are associating with or have associated with terrorists?
Well, you're not a lawyer and you know all these facts because you think and you read. These people just spit out the party line and they don't reason, they don't use evidence. And the point that I keep making is that we have the tools, we have the Patriot Act, we can surveil these people, but we constantly call them lone wolves, which is a myth, and we have to learn to not call these people lone wolves. They're not. They are members being recruited actively by groups like CARE, by the Islamic terror groups that are more open about what they do. CARE pretends to be a civil rights group. And then once they lure them in, they give them the tools online to commit these acts. It is a vast, specific, planned conspiracy by highly trained, highly intelligent people. It does not take much to join a conspiracy. And when somebody does, like Mateen, you grab them early when they try to buy weapons or vests or surveil locations. You don't wait.
Now, Dan, you mentioned CARE. Years ago, you sued CARE on my behalf, didn't you?
Yes. Yes. And we started...
Well, you know, you know what CARE just did the 2 days after the Muslim mass murder in Orlando? They listed an Islamophobia Network outer core chart, and they put my name along with other great American organizations, including a whole network like Fox News Channel, National Review, Rush Limbaugh, Savage Nation, WND, Washington Times, and others are on the Islamophobia Network's outer core. How does CARE dare to get away with a thing like this?
Well, first of all, let me congratulate you on being included on that list, and let me tell everyone that you were on that list years ago. You were one of the first people on that list, and I congratulate you for that, because what you did to get on that list is what you're doing now. You never called people names. You were the only talk show host, by the way, who ever protested the killing of gays by these Islamists. You were the one who spoke out against their violence when other people were silent. So you earned it by pointing a finger at them and saying, pay attention to what they're doing. So that is a hero's award that you got.
Well, I don't know if it's a hero's award, but it's worrisome because they painted a target on my back. Why should they be allowed to do? Why would a sane government permit a rogue group like the CARE Network do this to patriotic organizations? How does a government let this happen?
Why would they not indict them for not filing tax returns and then changing their corporate name, starting a new corporation, and jettisoning the old one with all the unfiled paperwork? And every time they want to get away from an investigation, they just fold one company, start a new one, call it CARE again, and they avoid scrutiny. The IRS could go after them. They took money from foreign entities, millions of dollars from the Saudis years ago. Nobody's looked into that. They refused to renounce violence. I deposed their leader, who called himself the next Martin Luther King Jr., and I said, then you renounce all violence, don't you? And he wouldn't. He refused to renounce violence.
Who is that leader? What was his name?
Nihad Awad is the name he uses. It's not his real name. He uses that name in America. But, Nihad Awad claimed to be the next Martin Luther King.
Well, what's worrisome is that they're actually training the FBI, the CIA, and defense agencies on Islamophobia, so-called, in order to deter them from doing their work then. And this has to stop. Do you think Hillary would stop groups like CARE? Or actually encourage them?
You have to give yourself more credit. Your lawsuit and your fight with CARE many years ago was part of an effort by the other people, some of the other people on the list that you read, which actually caused the FBI to pull back from working with CARE and to start writing letters saying, and congresspeople did this too, writing letters saying we can't trust CARE. So you should take more credit for that.
Yeah, but Dan, that was a long time ago. Now under Obama, things have reversed, haven't they?
They've reversed significantly, and CARE is certainly not prosecuted when there, in my opinion, was enough to prosecute them under Eric Holder. And my understanding was that he looked at it and that they chose not to do it. Certainly under Trump, they would prosecute CARE for at least tax fraud or tax evasion and potentially for taking money from foreign powers and then using it to create propaganda in the United States. So,
let's go back to the terror incident in Orlando. Why would a liberal like Glenn Greenwald write in the Washington Post, the FBI was right not to arrest Omar Mateen before the shooting, and actually congratulates himself for being a great libertarian liberal? He's nonsensical. Citizens should not forfeit their rights if they haven't committed a crime. Is he correct in that?
Well, I mean, I think the people who were murdered in Orlando lost all of their rights, and it wouldn't have been really out of line to take a man who's going around talking about killing people, supporting terror, and buying guns, and lock him up a little bit and charge him with trying to commit acts of terror. It would have saved a lot of grief, and I don't feel that my rights would have been violated or the world would be any worse by that. If that bothers this writer so much, maybe he should go to the scene of the Orlando shooting and smell the blood and look at the bodies next time something like that happens, and then see how he feels.
You know, Dan, there used to be a liberal shibboleth when I was growing up that I heard that I'd rather see 99 guilty men go free than one innocent man go to prison. Do you remember that from the liberals in New York? I'd rather see 99 guilty men go free than one innocent man be locked up. Remember those liberal statements of your youth?
Yeah, it makes me cringe. Of course, a lot of those liberal ideas came about when the government was all-powerful and the working people were being knocked down by the bosses who ran factories, and it was that whole wobblies, and it was a whole different era. Now we're not fighting an oppressive government when we violate the rights of these terrorists. We violate the rights of the terrorists to carry out their Islamic philosophy to murder us. It's not really
all right. We're speaking with the greatest attorney in the world, Daniel Horowitz, because he's my attorney. He's the only attorney I trust other than my other attorneys. And if you have a question on best issue is civil liberties. Daniel Horowitz is the man to call at 855-407-2822. We'll continue our discussion because it's a very important one in this age of terror, which is what rights should we all give up in order to capture these vermin before they kill again? And I think that's a great topic. And remember this, if you think I deserve to win the award of being inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame, it's real simple. You text to 36500, 36500, Savage. That's it. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. To answer your legal questions, not about homes and fences and neighbors, but about, let us say, security, civil liberties in an age of terrorism where all of our rights have been violated because of the Muslims who attacked us on 9/11. I mean, just think about what you've given up, how those Saudi hijackers have stolen your rights to privacy, and how we go like sheep on an airplane now. Instead of racially profiling those who you think are likely to cause harm to the aircraft and everyone on it, they've made grandmothers in wheelchairs cry at TSA checkpoints. So this is what I'm talking about. Where is this going to end before we finally get smart and focus on those groups known to harbor the terrorists? We have with us Daniel Horowitz, great lawyer. Dan, welcome back to the Savage Nation. We'll talk about terrorism and the law. What are your opinions on that, Dan, in a nutshell, about giving up our rights, our civil liberties in an age of terror? Where does this end?
Well, I think we have to give up some of our perceived rights, our extreme views of rights. It's sort of crazy, though. We need to profile, for example, more at airports. I was shocked when I flew, and when I went through security with my 5-year-old daughter, they swabbed her hands for explosives.
That's sickening.
I thought to myself, okay, they can now check off the box, you know, swabbed, you know, Jewish girl, you know, 5 years old, we're not prejudiced. I think that might have wasted resources.
That's disgusting, that's sickening, but that's an example of what we're facing now in the new fascist America as a result of those Muslim hijackers on 9/11. So what's going to happen tomorrow? Listen, Dan Horowitz will be with us over the top of the hour. He's such a great guest. We'll talk about how likely is it that the UK leaves the EU. It was way ahead, and then after that strange killing, it's losing. Wow, conspiracy theories abound.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
What they haven't done actually, when I think about it. So I'm pretty sure that they invented surfing somewhere in the Arabian Desert. It's just that it hasn't been uncovered yet. Well, we're speaking with Daniel Horowitz, attorney extraordinaire, on the issues of civil liberties and freedom and security. And, of course, the liberal argument, which is, as far as I'm concerned, this Glenn Greenwald is in the Exhibit A of why liberalism is a mental disorder. He writes an article in the Washington Post, owned by Buzzard Bezos, the Buzzard. And he says the FBI was right not to arrest Omar Mateen before the shooting because citizens should not forfeit their rights if they haven't committed a crime. What do you mean citizens should not forfeit their rights? We don't want all of us to forfeit our rights. We wanted him to have his rights forfeited since he was on a terror watch list. Right, Dan? Isn't that what it's all about? Daniel Horowitz? Daniel on line 10?
We don't want to offend him. Of course, Michael, you don't have First Amendment rights. Before Christmas, when you posted a picture of Islamists protesting outside the Danish embassy, and Facebook censored you and took it down.
Really? I didn't know that Dr. Zuckerberg did that to me.
They took, yes. Look at WorldNet Daily. There's a whole article on it. Facebook censors Michael Savage post of Muslims protesting with signs saying, behead those who oppose Islam. You don't have First Amendment rights to insult them because they hide under religion, when what they're really doing is taking a philosophy of conquest and using our belief as to what our rights are to kill us, to take away the rights of those gay people.
But Dan, to be honest, we have to thank liberal American lawyers for this. They're the ones behind them. You know that and I know that.
And yet our mutual friend and my cousin, who is a very liberal American lawyer, does not go that far. And certainly Amira and those people who love him know that he is the kind of liberal who would fight to the death if they really tried to hurt us. So it's not every liberal. I think it's the liberals who have not lived in the real world and not had to support themselves. Sort of the people who have had these blessed lives where they can just sit back in their chairs and think nice thoughts and think that if you sing Kumbaya, they'll ultimately become peaceful. Those are the.
All right, we're talking with Daniel Horowitz. If you have a question on this issue of liberty and security, which I think is a great topic, and no one wants to talk about anything else, I'm going to take your calls right now. Let's begin on KSFO in San Francisco. We invite callers from New York on WABC. We invite callers from Washington on WAMAL. We invite our loyal callers on WJR, KLIF, KCMO, and all the great stations across the land. Frank, on KSFO, you're the first up for Danny. What's your question?
Hi. The Democrats have a proposal about banning guns to anybody that's on the FBI watch list. Why is this a bad thing? I'm trying to figure this one out.
Dan, I have my answer. What do you think?
Well, I think that if we have a good watch list that's objective, it's a good rule. The problem is, who's banned in Britain? Who's on the Britain watch list and on the CARE watch list? Michael Savage. So we have to make sure that they don't take guns out of the hands of the very people who will use them to defend our liberties, and really focus on psychopaths who have a history of being Islamic terrorist sympathizers. So we have to be careful how we do it. That's my.
So in other words, Frank, what he's saying is if you get a corrupt administration of the type we now have, they could put your name on the list for any reason they want.
I see.
And that's the problem with it.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, next caller. And we'll go across the country on that one to WJR in Detroit. Harold, line one. Question or comment for Daniel Horowitz?
Yes, Daniel. See, the old laws used to be that you had to take some kind of action before you could be arrested. Now we're moving into this area of intent, and when you can be arrested with that. And I guess, you know, even with...
So what's your question?
My question is, how many laws do we have that now deal with the intent and not some actual action? And
all right, Dan, do you have an answer to that? I don't understand it completely. I think you do.
About this nut Mateen, he did a lot more than just have bad thoughts. We can't punish bad thoughts, no matter how despicable they are. But this guy scouted Disneyland. This guy scouted the bar where he murdered all those people. We could have tracked his cell phone, noted that he did that. He then went to buy weapons. He was very arrestable without violating the freedom to think or the freedom even to act in a weird way. And all of these killers, before they act, display signs that are far beyond just bad words. So we don't have to violate the right to think.
Well, look, here is a liberal senator, Democrat Senator Joe Manchin. He's as liberal as they get. And even he said, due process is what's killing us right now. Even a turncoat like Lindsey Graham, who I detest, says the FBI closed this file because the Obama administration treats radical Islamic threats as common crimes. So even left-wingers are screaming that the FBI should have arrested him. And you agree, of course, right?
Oh, listen, this guy had a violent history. He was following that crazy sheik in Yemen who was radicalizing people. He was tied to the American terrorist who killed people in Syria. what else do you need to know that this is the real thing? He's the real deal. And then when he starts making threats to people, getting fired from his Department of Corrections training job, we should have been all over him. Either arrest him or be following him every step he takes.
Well, remember the Fort Hood massacre by the Muslim major Nidal Hassan, who killed so many people and wounded so many others. You know he has never been executed, Dan. Why is the government keeping him alive when he's a mass murderer? Nidal Hassan executed 13 soldiers and wounded 56 or 60 others in a national tragedy. He was signing off on his medical reports with praise Allah. He gave away every symptom of a madman about to explode, and yet the army was so, curtailed or caponized by their own political concerns that they let this maniac rage until he killed everybody during the Fort Hood massacre. So when is this going to change, if ever, Dan?
I think we really have to have more dialogue with regular, normal Muslim people and get them to speak up and realize, too, that a lot of them are hostages to these psychopaths. They have families overseas. They're afraid in their own communities because the radicals and the violent Islamists really control much of the world and much of their communities. I think they're afraid to speak out. And that makes us afraid to label the Fort Hood killer an Islamic terrorist. It makes Hillary Clinton careful about how she uses the words. The belief that if we don't offend Muslims, they'll ultimately be on our side and work for us is insulting to them. I think they're afraid, and we have to stand up for them and make them fight for us. That's my thought.
At the bottom of the hour, I have just such a guest. She's a Muslim woman named Rahil Raza. She's president of the Council for Muslims Facing Tomorrow, and she is a total opponent of CARE. She thinks that they're a monstrous group. She said, while the world mourns, CARE goes on the attack. And here she is, a woman Muslim, a female Muslim, who they're calling Islamophobic because she dared stand up on the terror issue. So we're going to have her on at the bottom of the hour. We have to wake up, Dan, and you're helping us do it. Let's go to our next quick caller on the Savage Nation, which has to do with guns. We're speaking with Daniel Horowitz. Rick on KSFO Line 9. Go ahead, please. What's your question?
I'd like to point out the numbers that we're dealing with when we talk about radical Muslims. I hear people say that 99% of Muslims are good.
Well, hold on, sir. Can you ask a question of Daniel and not give a speech on a soapbox? I need questions asked of my important guest. Thanks for the call. No, I'm sorry. This is not a podium for the callers now. This is a time for you to ask an expert questions rather than giving a speech. If you want to give a speech, do it another time. That's all. Clayton on KSFO in San Francisco. Topic, fire away for Dan.
Yeah. If you own a gun shop, are you obligated to sell a gun to anybody that walks in?
Great, great call. Dan, can a gun shop owner racially profile or discriminate against who they sell to?
No, they cannot. And I'm in favor of no discrimination along those lines for the very reason I said before. I know a lot of Muslims who will use those guns to protect the United States. But I think we should have more efficient reporting mechanisms so that when a nut comes in to buy a weapon and an assault jacket, and he talks on the phone and makes the store feel uncomfortable, they can call the FBI in a way that the FBI responds and doesn't let it slip by until he shoots and kills 50 people. And that's
all right. That's a great answer. Terrific. Now let's go to the next caller in Washington, D.C. David on WMAL Line 4. What's your question or comment, actually your question for Dan Horowitz?
Yes, thank you. The Islamists who claim that it is against their religion to pay interest on loans, do they also behold Sharia law to the point where they are radical?
I think what you're asking is, if they practice Sharia law, is that an indicator that they're radicalized?
Yeah, I understand that. I think that it's an indicator that we have to look deeper at them if we're going to hire them for jobs involving children, security, where they have power over women. Certainly, I think any type of bizarre, radical view should be looked at carefully. And certainly, crazy ideas about business are just the tip of the iceberg very often. So I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but good luck, Dan. You're not running the Justice Department. I wish you were, okay? Thank you very much, guys. We got time for one quick call right now on the Savage Nation. Let's grab it while we can. WJR, Tommy, line one, question or comment for Dan?
Yeah, Dan, I was wondering if the Islamic State could be brought up on RICO charges and then people like this jerk who killed all those people in Orlando, he could be arrested that way.
Hold on a minute. Can he be arrested for what?
If the United States could indict the Islamic State under the RICO charges, then can these people who are out there doing their work for them, could they be arrested for it?
Well, you're not going to know who they are until they do the horrible crime, and then they're usually dead, so it's almost a moot point. By the way, Tommy, are you voting for me to be inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame?
Yeah, would you give out that text number one more time, please?
Yes, 36500, 36500-SAVAGE.
All righty.
Dan, stay 36500-SAVAGE. I'll be right back. This is Michael Savage with our great guest, the attorney Daniel Horowitz, on civil liberties and terror.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. We're living in crazy times where freedom, security, how far do we go in preventively stopping somebody? Forest fires, people dying in the heat, animals being slaughtered to the edge of extinction, elephants being annihilated off the face of the earth in our lifetime, Chinese eating dogs in dog meat markets, and we're worried about violating the rights of would-be terrorists. We're sitting here arguing about how many angels there are in the head of a pin before they kill children in a daycare center. It's sickening how stupid we become. Dan Horowitz, don't you agree that we've become overly sensitive to the issues of civil liberties?
I think we talk about civil liberties in the abstract and fail to look at the liberties of the victims. If this guy had shot up Disneyland instead of that bar and we lost 50-100 children, would we still be talking about civil liberties? At what point do we balance the rights of people to live against the rights of these people to speak?
So why would a guy like Glenn Greenwald, who I never heard of, say the FBI was right not to arrest Omar Mateen before the shooting? He's a dyed-in-the-wool liberal, and here he is arguing that he shouldn't have been preventively detained.
Well, he probably never lost anybody, probably never suffered much pain himself, because anybody who understands the pain that the families from Orlando are feeling would never say something insensitive like that.
Hmm. Well, to call a liberal insensitive is about the greatest insult you can foist on them, Dan. Folks, we're taking calls from Mr. Horowitz, and we have so many good callers that we're going to continue for a few more minutes. Let's take another quick call on this issue of civil liberties and security on the Savage Nation, going across the country again. 2WMAL in Washington, D.C., line 9. Go ahead, please. Chris, what's your question?
Hi, how you doing? This goes right to the heart of civil liberties. I have a son, and he was arrested after a routine traffic stop, and they said there was a warrant for him for trying to possess a gun after being declared mentally incompetent. Long story short, ended up in court 3 times, and they finally dropped it, saying, yeah, you were never...
Well, what's the question for Dr. Horowitz?
Well, how do you stop the government from taking away our rights and balancing it? They put them on a list, never had a day in court, don't you have to be served?
So you're asking, how do you clear yourself from a government watch list? Dan, what does a person do if some bureaucrat puts them on a watch list? How do they fight it?
Well, it's hard. You have to track down all the lists that have your name on it, and you have to get paperwork. It's a nightmare to clear your name when it does not belong on there, and that's why you need good lawyers. But
Dan, my name is still on the banned list from England. 2009, I was banned from entering England based on complete lies, and they will not remove my name, Dan. I spent over $400,000. they still won't remove my name, and have Muslims in Britain saying, we will kill you, convert you, Sharia this, Sharia that. Yeah, I know how hard it is to get your name off a list, Dan. Believe me, it's impossible. No one can fight a government. It's almost impossible. Do you know that, Dan?
No, it's what they did to you in England is a joke. I mean, of all the people, you love England, you support England, and they went after you for reasons that no one's ever figured out.
Well, I fear if Hillary wins, they're going to create watch lists in this country of patriots, and there will be a new America unlike any ever seen before. We're going to continue and hold Dan over for a few more questions on liberty and security. 855-400-SAVAGE, 36500-SAVAGE, if you want me to win that award. 36500-SAVAGE, back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation.
It's a crazy world. I mean, there's mass hysteria out there, the heat waves. Have you seen the videos of the massive brawl at the IHOP Memphis? Chairs thrown over a God knows what. I mean, beating people up in Burger King over a milkshake. It's either the heat or the medication or the madness of the times. So we have a mass hysteria in America. We have terrorism, and we're talking about the opposite of terrorism. The day after terrorist attack by Mateen, whatever his real name is, in Orlando, already CARE swings into high gear and starts publishing a list of Islamophobic people. I'm on it. Fox News Channel is on it. National Review is on it. All of the good people are on it that I can believe are on it. Anyone who's standing up for survival is on it. Concerned Women for America, Christian Broadcasting Network, Christian Action Network, Liberty Council, National Review even, and they're as liberal as they come. Truth, Traditional Values Coalition, WND, Washington Times. Suddenly we're declared un-American for wanting to live by this group called CARE. They say nothing about Omar Mateen's murder rampage at the gay nightclub. So who is CARE? Why should we care what CARE says? How did they become so powerful? Daniel Horowitz is a very important lawyer. He's on the show. Dan, how did they become so powerful?
Well, they were very smart. They played chess very well. CARE was formed in 1993 by Hamas, and there are FBI recordings of that meeting where they say, let's pretend to be a civil rights organization, because if American Muslims knew who we really were, they would not support us. And then they said, we will use the media to change public opinion to undermine peace between Israel and the Palestinians.
But they're fronting for some terrorist front groups, are they not? Or am I wrong?
What they do is they pretend to be a civil rights group, and they then try to crush any criticism of terror activities internationally. And then what they do is they always say, well, we're very sorry that, you know, I'll make it up, 10 people were killed in Israel by a suicide bomber, but it's their policies that cause it. So it's almost as if they're giving the terms, the extortion terms. We won't kill if you stop doing this.
Well, Dan, you know, there's a series on CNN by that creep, Fareed Zakariyyeh, that people are complaining about. He actually had the nerve to say that Islamophobia is the reason Muslims are killing around the world and they don't represent Islam at all. I don't know if you've seen any of this vile stuff, but he actually blames Americans for terrorist acts by Muslims, Dan, and this is on CNN. Is he an operative of CARE?
Well, I think that there is a philosophy or a plan that's not just CARE. It's the overall Hamas-Muslim Brotherhood plan, and many people will put it into action. If you read the book, The Muslim Mafia, it describes how they've systematically put together plans to make Americans feel guilty for the violence that's done in the name of Islam.
Weren't you involved in a lawsuit for WND against CARE?
Still are. If that's going to go to trial probably next year.
What's that case about?
It's about Chris Gobetz, who went undercover as an intern at CARE, and when he was there, he discovered all sorts of nefarious activities. For example, money that was donated for Muslim civil rights work to CARE was funneled to H. Rapp Brown to fund his habeas corpus petition after he killed two policemen. What does that have to do with Muslim civil rights? Nothing. But that's what...
Unbelievable. So, Dan, I'm on the CARE list of Islamophobia Network's Outer Core. It's worrisome because this could be a hit list for individuals who watch these lists. Isn't that true?
Well, there were threats of violence towards you, including gunshots left on answering machines when you had your lawsuit with CARE. I think you need to be careful. I've always thought you need to be careful.
Well, why is it that I in America am reviled by so many in the media when I should be not revered, but certainly, let us say, respected for the work I'm doing? What is wrong with Fox News that they would rather have a terrorist front group on than an American patriot like me? But I'm asking a rhetorical question, Dan. It shouldn't be about me anymore. We're now way past worrying about ourselves. We have to think for the entire nation. Let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Again, Daniel Horowitz is open for your calls. Let's go to KBOI Radio, John on line 9. What's your question for Dan Horowitz?
Yes, my question is, although ISIS is a non-uniformed army from a non-specific nation, is it possible at all to have some sort of formal declaration of war so that its suspected followers are subject to additional scrutinies in this country? The people that we think to be basically splinter cells?
You mean if we were to declare war, formally declare war against ISIS, would that give the military, the police, and local departments, and federal agencies more power over potential followers? Is that what you're asking, John?
Exactly, because we've basically been attacked by ISIS twice in the last few months in this country by its followers because they're too cowardly to show themselves, and it's brilliant. They know that we're not going to go bomb them if they're just putting the word out subliminally to these people. So,
why not do that, Daniel? What's stopping us from doing that?
Well, I think your caller, John, asked a very good question. He framed it correctly. You know, when Franklin Roosevelt interned 120,000 Japanese in World War II, the Justice Department suggested that it was not legal. But then they agreed that if he did it under a War Powers Act, as an executive action to protect the United States, he could do that. So probably our powers are much broader in that context. On the other hand, things have changed. The Vietnam War was never declared, and yet there was no difference between the Vietnam War and any other war that we fought. I think the declaration of war is, at this point, a moot issue, and I think we're just not capable of taking the very strong actions that Roosevelt took, and I'm not saying we ever should have. I think we need to use legislation like the Patriot Act to do it more as a consensus with Congress and the President.
Well, let's take the extreme right-wing view that not only should we ban the entry of any Muslims into America, but that the entire Muslim American community should be on a watch list. I said that's the extreme view. We know it's illegal. Could it be done, though?
No, it can't be done, and it's silly too. I mean, if you look at that guy, Muhammad Malik, you know, he was the person who reported that psycho killer to the FBI. He was the first person to report him. So, it's very clear to me from my own experiences and just from reading that the vast majority of this Muslim community, while we may disagree with them on some political issues due to their background, are very, very anti-terror. So it would be, I think, an absurd, not only a civil rights violation, but a moral violation and a tax.
All right, so let's go to Donald Trump's statement that he wants to do nothing against American Muslims, but he does want to ban the entry of Muslims until we can figure this thing out. What about that? Would that be legal?
That would be legal. President Obama did it for a time with Syria. And certainly in World War II, we weren't inviting Japanese from Japan in. We don't invite North Koreans in now to this country. We certainly have a right to protect ourselves in that way.
Well, so maybe you should be Donald Trump's advisor on it. I'll let him know the next time he appears on the show.
Okay.
We have time for another couple of quick questions for Daniel Horowitz on the Savage Nation. WABC in New York. Adam, thank you for calling the Savage Nation. What's your question for Mr. Horowitz?
Thank you. I just wanted to ask, you know, they're trying to create the new norm. It's going to be not normal to have your constitutional or your civil rights. So if you're one that wants them after they take them away, you're going to be branded the crazy one. So I have a question. With them trying to take constitutional rights away from American citizens and grant them to Muslim extremists, what would be the American basis for trying to keep your rights?
Dan, is there an answer to that puzzle?
Let me read one sentence from a book called Train Tracks. which I think has the most important fundamental constitutional right on earth. Michael Savage wrote, "You know, we should all be so lucky as to lie down in the grass in the cool shade, surrounded by people who love us when it's the end of our lives." That life is the most fundamental reason we have a government, we have a national defense, and we have to do whatever is necessary to protect it. We have many times curtailed rights to protect life, because that is the fundamental right. And we've always gone back when things have gotten safer. And so that's my answer to that question.
I didn't even know that you were reading from Train Tracks. That was a shocker, Dan. I think I was referring to visiting my previous dog, Snowy, a few days before she died, and how she was lying in the grass and the light was going out of her eyes. And I thought it wasn't tragic at all. It was just sad, but it was also quite normal in the sense that she wasn't in pain, and that when I whistled to her, her eyes lit up, because I had learned to whistle to the silent a long time before. I really am touched by that, Dan. I'll be honest with you. It threw me off. I had no idea that you even got the book, let alone remembered that line. Yeah, lying down in the cool grass surrounded by those who love us. Wouldn't that be beautiful? But what you're saying is there's a sacred nature of life itself that's at stake here, and that we're letting a group of demonic haters of life, haters of our way of life, and haters of our freedoms literally dictate the terms of our own survival. Isn't that what we're talking about?
Yes. Think about how the people at the Pulse died that moment the bullets hit them in that carnage, compared to what you wrote. That's what I think when I balance.
Well, I see what you're saying. No, I hear where you're coming from, because, I mean, you, without getting into personal details, this whole interview, Dan, I've asked questions and I've gotten some answers that I expected, but most of them had an undertone of pathos from you because of what you have experienced in your life most dramatically about life and death, especially that situation of murder. And I think that almost every one of your answers is rooted in that particular situation. Am I correct in that?
Yes, and my family going through World War II and the sacrifice and the courage that generation exhibited to give us this life, and how we have to protect it and recognize their sacrifice. And yes, and I can feel it to some degree due to my experience.
Dan, can you talk about your father's heroism? Would it be inappropriate?
I think we can talk about it a bit, sure.
Well, as I know it, your dad, who I met once or twice at various functions, literally walked from Normandy all the way to Germany in World War II as an infantryman?
Well, he won't talk about what he did. I know that his brother was wounded many times, was a lieutenant, and when the Battle of the Bulge started, signed himself out of a hospital against doctor's orders to fight because his men needed him, and was killed, apparently, according to one of the soldiers who lived, saving the life of the men with him. And my father was just a young man who joined as soon as he could to fight, had no fighting experience, but he never complained, and he did things that he and saw things that he will not talk about, but he never complained about it.
And he's in his 90s, isn't he? He's still working in his 90s?
Still working, a lot.
How's his cholesterol level?
You know, you sent me that article about how the whole myth of those cholesterol-lowering drugs has been perpetrated, and I don't know how his cholesterol level is, but he's on those...
No, I'm joking. When you consider what men have gone through and are going through on this earth, and we sit here like a bunch of ninnies worrying about our cholesterol and our sugar and this and that, we're sitting here, oh, God, my sugar's up, my sugar's down, my LDLs, my HDLs, and you think about human history and what human beings have gone through and are going through, it's enough to make you... I guess choke on reality and revert to laughter, which you and I certainly do on a regular basis.
Well, you know, Michael,
Dan, go ahead, please make your point.
Still plays tennis.
Who does? Your dad in his 90s?
Yeah.
You know, I've never played tennis in my life. I was a ghetto kid, and tennis, skiing was never in my background. Isn't that sad? I know how to bicycle. That's about the only sport I can conduct. But your dad, I mean, he's a tennis player in his 90s. God bless him, Dan. What's his secret? I guess he's got good DNA.
You know, I don't know what the secret is. I think that it's because nobody ever gave him anything. He had to earn it himself.
And you know, Dan, people should know that your father is politically not very conservative. Incidentally, war hero, a true warrior, and he's not really... I don't think he likes me very much by what I've heard. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We've been talking with the attorney Daniel Horowitz about, you know, civil liberties, freedom, terrorism. I think a great conversation. And I got to tell you, Dan is like a brother to me. Dan is like my long-lost brother, and we talk very often about a lot of crazy things and a lot of serious things. Dan, welcome back to the show. Dan, tell the audience what kind of law you specialize in on the show right now.
Michael, a lot of them are criminal cases, sometimes whistleblowers. But I believe that the ultimate power of the law is when you stand in front of 12 people and you talk to them, and they represent the real power of the people. I either win or lose based upon whether I'm right or not.
Well, you and I go back to the first CARE case. Isn't that how we met?
We met when I represented Andrew Cohen, the police officer who made that comedy video, and then Gavin Newsom, who's running for governor and someday president, pilloried him, basically turned him into a racist, sexist, and everything else on earth, because he made this private comedy video with other police officers.
Oh, and I had you on my local show on KSFO. I think that's what
then we
right,
went going. Then went from there.
I didn't even know how we met, but I know you and I have become very close, and I consider you family, and there's not too many people I let near me. But, Dan, the fact of the matter is terrorism and the law, this is a huge issue right now. I think it's an emerging issue. I think it needs to be taught in law schools, and I think we need to put aside all of the crap that liberals are teaching these young children about the esoterics of freedom as opposed to living and dying. The real world, the real world, the real world. That's what we're talking about. And you have lived through the real world many, many times over. You've lived many lives. You've had tragedy in your own life. You've had murder on your doorstep. You know what life is, and many of these liberals, unfortunately, live in a bubble, a fake world. And that's why I had you on the show today, Dan. Thank you so much for being with us on the subject of terrorism and the law. When we come back, Rahil Raza, she is a Muslim woman who has been called an Islamophobic by CARE for daring to question who a terrorist really is. She's a wonderful person. She'll be with you on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7287. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Families of European origin, Italian-American. So, folks, we just had a great interview with a great lawyer, Daniel Horowitz. By the way, you can Google him and find out where he is. Consult with him on the big issues. Joining us in a few minutes will be a young lady, a wonderful person, Rahil Raza, founding member of the Muslim Reform Movement, author of Their Jihad, Not My Jihad. A friend of mine just wrote this. Michael, such a lovely interview between you and your cherished friend Daniel Horowitz, who, despite his great intellect like you, wonderfully wears his heart on his sleeve just when and where needed. That's an interesting commentary. And I think that that's what's missing in the media world today, which is no humanity. There's no sign of humanity in the media world, and I guess that's part of the problem. And the same is true in most walks of life. Where is the human emotion in law? It's hardly to be found. That's why we find it to be such a cold-hearted world in the courtroom. And I think what Dan was trying to say was that you have all of these liberals writing these columns like the FBI was right not to arrest Omar Mateen before the shooting. That's sort of an esoteric statement from a college boy, not someone who's actually seen blood on the floor after a crime. Sure, you could say citizens should not forfeit their rights if they haven't committed a crime. But these are not ordinary citizens. I don't care whether they're Muslim or not Muslim. If they're on a watch list because they're saying and doing certain things which indicates they're about to kill somebody, they're no longer citizens of the type we are talking about. And, of course, unless you live in the real world, you don't understand that. Not at all. No way. So right now, again, Rahil Razah, she's going to join us, president of the Council for Muslims Facing Tomorrow, founding member of the Muslim Reform Movement. Would you believe that? And she's the author of the book, Their Jihad, Not My Jihad. Miss Razah, welcome to the Savage Nation. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Well, you're a very brave person for saying while the world mourns Orlando, CARE goes on the attack. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is that CARE is famous for using any kind of event, whether it is a terrorist or, you know, any kind of tragedy to their own advantage. They always turn it around and make themselves seem to be the victims, no matter what happens. So even in this,
they called you an Islamophobe, a Muslim woman.
By the way, thank you for calling me young. It's been a long time since someone said that.
No, but okay, but Miss Razah, are you serious? CARE had the nerve to call you an Islamophobe?
They would love to, but they can't because I'm a believing, practicing Muslim. However, you know, they've made Islamophobia into an industry. And you know as well as I know that this is a term that has been coined to stop debate and discussion. And unfortunately, they've succeeded because the white liberal guilt sets in and it stops people from speaking out or critiquing anything to do with Islam or Muslims.
Rahil, do you know that they put me on a list called the Islamophobia Network's Outer Core? They put Michael Savage on that list?
Well, anyone. Anyone who speaks about Islam or Muslims is an Islamophobe. And if one were to say that you're killing innocent people is wrong, which is what you were just speaking about, the inhumanity, I don't care who the person is, but if you are killing innocent people, then there's something very, very wrong about that. And it is beyond my understanding why people can't say that. They can't articulate that. They will speak about everyone killing, but if it is a Muslim who's involved, they just shut up.
Why do you think that the media will go to groups like CARE after an Orlando rather than go to your group? Why do you think that is?
Well, because of political correctness, because we speak the truth. And everyone is not ready to face the truth, both Muslims and non-Muslims. You have a president who's not willing to face the truth. We have a prime minister who's not willing to face the truth. So they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear that we have a virus of radical Islam within our midst and that we need to do something about it. So they rather...
Rahil, you're a recipient of the Queen Elizabeth II Diamond Jubilee Medal for service to Canada. You're a Canadian citizen?
I'm a very proud Canadian citizen.
Well, in Canada, aren't there very strict laws against the kind of spoken word that you're speaking about?
Yes, they are, but, you know, I'm not promoting hate like many of our clerics and religious leaders are. I'm just saying what is the fact. Our organization is, you know, has a mandate to expose the problem, educate the masses, and then eradicate the problem. But unless we expose people like CARE, how are Muslims and non-Muslims going to understand that they don't represent the majority of the Muslim world? They like to say that they have, but look at their credibility. They've already been declared a terrorist organization by the United Arab Emirates, which is a Muslim country. We also know that they're unindicted co-conspirators in a terrorist trial. They're just playing on the psyche of people who are already feeling guilty. And so they use Islamophobia as a coined term to stop any debate.
Have you been consulted by anyone in the Obama administration to advise them on Islamic issues?
I'm sorry?
Have you been consulted by anyone in the Obama administration to consult with them on issues to do with Islam?
You must be joking, right?
No, I'm not joking. Well, you say that with, you're making quite a statement. I mean, why wouldn't you as a Muslim woman be invited to discuss your views with someone in Homeland Security?
Yes, I would love to, but no, we have never been invited. I have never been invited. The people who advise President Obama don't like what I say and do, because I am speaking about a virus within the Muslim world, and it's hard for them to stomach that. And I don't think President Obama wants to hear that either. It's so much easier to hear somebody who's whining and constantly saying that they are the victims, even though innocent people have been killed. So it takes common sense and civil society to understand where the problem lies. Not with those who are trying to reform Muslims, but those who are...
What do you mean by reform? When you say reform Muslims, Muslim reform movement, can you tell the audience what you mean by that?
Yes, the Muslim reform movement is a movement where we have a declaration where we are saying that Muslims need to move from 7th century and ideas of caliphate into the 21st century. We want Muslims to learn to live in a liberal democracy with issues of peace, national security. We want them to stand for compassion and gender equality, all the things that brought people like us to the West, where we came here because we embrace the values and the principles of a liberal democracy. And those Muslims who think that they want to live in the 7th century and they want to use tribal concepts of armed jihad to constantly wage wars against others, we are telling them, stop, this is not right.
Amazing. Rahil, I feel as though I'm speaking to my own head with you. You're amazingly articulate. I'm so speechless, and that's not my norm. How is it that you say the truth like this and get away with it? It's shocking, as though I'm talking to me.
That's hilarious. But the point is that, you know, what I learned in the Islam that I grew up with, which was about truth and justice. And it doesn't matter if it's your own children, if it's your own community, we have to speak the truth. And the problem is, in this particular case, it is my community. And because I care for my faith and my community, and I feel that my faith has been stolen and represented by a mutated, violent ideology, which is a cult, I have to speak out. I have no other choice, because the future of my children and grandchildren is at stake here. The future...
Why doesn't Obama know that? And you know, and I know that by Muslim law, he is a Muslim through patrilineal descent. Isn't that true?
I am not sure what you mean by that.
By Muslim law, because his father was a Muslim. Isn't he a Muslim by Muslim law?
One has to declare themselves a Muslim, and he hasn't publicly at least done that. So, you know.
All right, so let's say he's not a Muslim, that he's actually a practicing Christian. Then why is he so given to apologizing for radical Islam without even mentioning it?
Well, because of political correctness, because he has a policy of appeasing the Islamists. Perhaps he thinks that, if he appeases them, they won't harm his country. But we've seen it all to the contrary. The Islamists are so delighted that the leader of the First World is not, you know, coming out harsh against them. So this will continue. You know, you have to just connect the dots. Attack after attack will continue. And I have said time and again in my writings that they are at war with us. How hard is that to understand for Obama or for anyone else? And personally, I think he knows it. He's not a stupid man. He's intelligent enough to know what the problem is. He has his own reasons for not speaking out. Perhaps it's people who are advising him. Perhaps he's afraid to speak out. Because speaking out comes with its own set of challenges. You know, having death threats sent to you, I suppose, is not something that everyone finds palatable.
Okay, let's start from the top. Where were you born, Rahil?
I was born in Pakistan.
And when did you emigrate to the West?
We left Pakistan in 1979 when the first signs of Wahhabi Salafi ideology were coming in, went and lived in Dubai for 8 years, and from there migrated to Canada and came here at the end of 1988 and have lived here ever since then, and this is home.
Okay, so you live in Canada, you're an outspoken Muslim reformist, and yet you're ignored by the mainstream media in America when you're exactly what they need to be promoting and talking about. I won't ask why, because I know that they're all cowards and they're all stupid, by the way. They're pretty stupid. But, Rahil, have you faced security threats? Have you faced threats in Canada?
Yes, of course. I have death threats. I have a fatwa. Well, the fatwa comes directly from Saudi Arabia. I have a death threat. I get hate mail, and I've had threats from a vigilante group in the United Kingdom. So that comes with the turf. I know that if they're threatening me, they are listening to what I'm saying, and they don't like it. And that's the point. To be a thorn.
So what do you do? Do you have a guard, a bodyguard? How do you deal with this?
I don't have a bodyguard, but I have a God. I have a great belief. I have great faith. And I had a great conversation with my Creator to say, hey, I'm doing this work for you. You protect me. And I guess he has. What I'm trying to say is that my fear is a very small drop in the ocean of the work that I have to do. If I get intimidated and scared by the threats, then the extremists succeed, because that's what they do.
You're amazing. You're an amazing person, Raheel. So you're trying almost, you're against all odds trying to reform Islam, when we all know that Christianity went through Reformation. And the only thing that could save the world would be some kind of reformation in Islam. You're certainly not alone, are you? What percent of Muslims in the West do you think are of your opinion as opposed to the more fundamentalist view? Can you break that down for us?
Yes. So at the moment, I was just checking our Facebook page. We have over 62,000 followers, and Muslims and non-Muslims have joined us in this movement because they want to see the change. And we also have organizations like the Clarion Project, which helps us through videos, documentaries, and films in exposing radical Islam. And that is our mission and vision, both in our organization and with the reform movement. You know that the Christian reform took, next year it'll be 500 years. We have just started sowing the seeds of reform. Whether or not we will see the change in my lifetime, I don't know. But someone has to start the movement. Someone has to start speaking out. And there are many others like me. You have Dr. Zudi Jasser in the United States. We have in the United Kingdom Majid Nawaz with the Quilliam Foundation. We have people in Europe. Not as many as we would like, obviously, because then people like CARE come out, who are, you know, funded in the billions and have, you know, millions of people following them. But, you know, truth does prevail, and people are not stupid. When they hear us speak, when they see what we write, when they understand that we are working from within the faith to bring about change.
Amazing. Raheel, this is an amazing conversation for me, and I don't know how to thank you so far. How do people contact? Look, we have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want you to listen carefully to this woman, Raheel Raza. And when she gives out a Facebook or an email or whatever she has, please write it down, because she needs all the help that we can give her. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. We have almost no time in this segment. We're speaking with an amazing woman, Raheel Raza, president of the Muslim Reform Movement website, MuslimsFacingTomorrow.com. What's your Facebook due diligence? Anyway, we have MuslimsFacingTomorrow.com. This woman is amazing. She speaks numerous languages, but she's extremely brave. Bill, KSFO Radio, what's your comment on the interview? Go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking my call, Michael. I just wanted to tell you I'm so impressed by this woman. Ms. Raza is an amazing, amazing person, and brave like no other man or woman I've ever heard. You made a point that you are so impressed, and I'm right there with you. I've been saying for years the problem with the Muslim faith, the people in the Muslim faith, the supposed faith of peace, nobody stands up and denounces all these terrible things they're doing, not just here, but abroad, and it's horrible, and it's amazing to me that a woman out of all the people that could stand up and say something or do something, she's amazing, and she should be very proud, and we are proud of people like that.
Yes, I thank you, and I hope you'll support their organization. Raheel Raza, I hope you heard those compliments. Welcome back for the last minute. People love you on the Savage Nation. They're going to help you. What do they do to help your organization?
Well, just look at the website, give us your support. speak out and read our writings and, you know, use us as the frontline warriors in this battle against radical jihadist ideologies and speak out. That's the most important thing. See the documentary By the Numbers, which tells you the numbers of people who that are radicalized, and support us.
MuslimsFacingTomorrow.com. Raheel Raza. Raheel Raza, you're a wonderful person. I felt as though I was speaking with, I'm not kidding, with my own inner mind. I've been waiting to hear millions of women speak out like this. Raheel, I've said this before, it's going to be the Muslim women who are going to save the world. I think the men are long too far gone. Thanks for calling, and thanks for being on the show. I'll be right back. Be here, folks, or be nowhere. Now, here are the topics that caught my attention. 4,948,000 illegal aliens are eligible for amnesty. 5 million illegals are eligible for amnesty. The Supreme Court is writing its decision on President Underminer's illegal immigrant amnesty program. 5 million aliens would be eligible if he gets away with this. Now, let's go back to the strange death of the Supreme Court justice who was found dead in a shady motel on the Mexican border. Remember, there was no autopsy done? Do you know that if a bum is found dead in the streets of New York, the medical examiner must, by law, perform an autopsy? Do you remember the case of the Supreme Court justice who was found dead in a motel? Duh. What motel? What's his name? I don't remember anyone by that name. Who? It was Justice Antonin Scalia, a great jurist, was found dead with a pillow over his head in a motel, and it was hushed up by the vermin in the propaganda media, the worms, the solenterates, the bed bugs. What can I say to you? If a bum is granted an autopsy, why would a Supreme Court justice be cremated immediately and his remains taken away? Why? What happened down there? Well, we don't know what happened. It could have been by natural causes. He could have been killed. We don't know. But we do know that after he died, that one crucial vote that stood between us and total anarchy was eliminated. And I told you when it happened, watch what happens next. If you remember my show, I'm just simply an analyst. I said now that it's 4-4, Obama's amnesty program is coming up just in time for the election. Watch what happens. Follow the bouncing corpse. I was going to open with the Republican National Committee in their spokesmouth, Rince Prius. I don't really know how he got a name like that, but Rince Prius is the head of the RNC. He was against Trump before he was for Trump, and now he's for Trump, even though he's really against Trump. And he comes out after they fired Trump's campaign manager, an all-around good guy, Lewandowski. I never met Lewandowski either, by the way, but I know he ran a good campaign. They threw him out, marched him out of the door, threw him in the street, and Rince Prius, the head of the RNC, congratulates Trump for doing it in an almost eerie admission that it's the Republican National Committee behind Trump right now. He says, I think it's good building the apparatus around someone who has been through a presidential campaign. The whole reason we like Donald is he doesn't have an apparatus. He didn't use an apparatus. He didn't use a teleprompter. Well, I'm afraid, my friends, those days are now over. Now, I'm going to support Trump right to the wire, don't get me wrong. But I can tell you right now, forget the wall, forget the banning of Muslims, forget most of what you heard, and if you get 50% on the dollar, you'll be better off than you get from Hillary, which is less than 100 on the dollar. You'll get minus 100 with her. So there's the choice right now. But you know, I was watching a show on History Channel about the barbarians fighting the Romans. It was an astounding reproduction. I mean, the acting was awesome. I don't know how they do these shows, what it must cost them to produce it. So, you know, I've talked about the barbarians in ancient Rome and history many, many times on the show. But how they act this out is amazing. How the Goths were on one side of the river and they were defeated by the Romans and they were starving to death. The Romans were on the other side. The Roman Empire had spread so far and so wide that they had beat these heathens, the Goths, back. The Goths were basically tribal people who were not Romans, so they considered them barbarians. Anyone who was not a Roman was a barbarian, so the Goths were there on the other side of the river, and they're so decimated and so starving, and now they're threatened by a new force, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes the Mongol hordes. And the Mongols are so insane. The things that were done to the Goths had never been seen before in any form of rampage. Things that I couldn't believe a human would do to another human. And I can't even repeat them on this national show, but I'll give you an example. Okay, forget burning the villages to the ground. Okay, forget taking the children from a village and putting them in a cart to use them for dog meat. I don't know, can you believe what I just said to you? Live human children of the Goths were taken by the Mongols and used for dog food by the Mongols. They would capture the women and remove, I can't even say it, and take a certain part of their anatomy off their body and sew them to the mouths of the women. That's what the Mongols were doing. So the Goths who were starving had no choice. They were trapped between the Romans on one side of the river. So the leader of the Goths goes over to the Roman emperor and offers to give up if they'll give them, you know, let's say sanctuary. Well, the Romans stabbed them in the back. And then eventually there's a slave uprising, and the emperor himself is burned to death. So all I can say is there's only so much people will take. So look, those are some of the topics. I realize it doesn't matter. You know, people die, and, you know, people die every day, and it's the 21st of June, and school is out, and the Ritalin's being supplied, and the Adderall is out there, and the parents are on their drugs, and the children are on their meds, and they're about to go on a summer vacation. Why do they care about what happened in Orlando? Do they even know what happened in Orlando? What percent of Americans do you think even know what happened and who committed the crime? The propaganda and cover-up by the media is so immediate. There's a Fareed Zakaria, for example, a bug, if I ever saw one. You look at his eyes, you know he's a bug job. From my point of view, the eyes tell say everything. I look at Zakaria, I see a mental case. Here's a guy who does a piece on CNN about how Islamophobia was created by Americans in World War II, and that there is no terrorism in Islam. It's only a small number of people within Islam who don't even know what Islam is. And this is passed for the truth on CNN every day. So how many really remember Orlando? They don't even know what Orlando is. You say Orlando, they think Disneyland. Is there any association in the American mind of Orlando and Islamic terror? Or is it still Orlando and Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck? They still see Mickey. I mean, it's called Brent. You say Orlando, they see Mickey. And that's because they didn't want you to associate Orlando with a slaughter of innocents, especially tied to any particular religion or any particular creed or any particular country of origin. In that sense, we're all terrorists. Everyone's a terrorist. It's just a few people actually go ahead and do it. Yeah, okay, right. That's the way it is. On my Facebook page, here's the headline. CAIR, C-A-I-R, the front group for Hamas. CAIR, the unindicted co-conspirator, well known to the old FBI, and I don't mean the FBI under J. Edgar Hoover. I mean the FBI before Obama took over. CAIR put Michael Savage on their hit list. I read the list. I couldn't believe it was on this list. They call us all Islamophobia Network's outer core. Now, to me, this is something that I'm going to go to a lawyer for, because I'd like to know how I live in a country where those of us who are concerned about preventing the next terrorist attack and uncovering the Muslims amongst us who will kill us, how we have become the enemy to this questionable front group for Hamas. And so I wrote this on my Facebook page. CAIR put me on their hit list. I said, read the following and ask yourself if CAIR is working for or against our national security. Ask why the Obama government permits these apologists for radicals to publish such hate lists, and why Obama and CAIR want me and others silenced or worse. And I link to a JihadWatch.org article. It's astonishing. It says, in wake of Orlando massacre, Hamas-linked CAIR issues new Islamophobia report. So instead of talking about helping the government, as we've been told Muslims will do, get rid of the next terrorist, they're now singling out those of us who have been raising the alarm bells for years. So I want to read you the groups in the Islamophobia Network's outer core, according to this group of rats. And they are rats as far as I'm concerned. They're moles as far as I'm concerned. And they're operating at very high levels. They're instructing the FBI. They're instructing the CIA. They're instructing the Defense Department. This is how far this has gone. So here are the people on the Islamophobia Network's Outer Core. Now, as I read this list to you, I want you to note that there are people in talk radio who are on the list, which is nice to see, but none of my competitors for the award are on this list. No one from NPR is on the list, as you can understand why. But here are the names of the people that those in care say are a threat to America because they're in the Islamophobia Network Outer Core. Adelson Family Foundation, Allegheny Foundation, American Center for Law and Justice, American Family Association, American Islamic Leadership Coalition, Bible Believers, Cherna Moskowitz Foundation, Christian Action Network, Christian Broadcasting Network, Concerned Women for America, Donors Capital Fund, Eagle Forum, Endowment for Middle East Truth, Family Security Matters, PM, I think it's the FMPM Kirby Foundation, Fox News Channel with no one named, Front Page Magazine, Glenn Beck Program, Government is Not God Pack, Joyce and Donald Rumsfeld Foundation, Klarman Family Foundation, Liberty Council, Linda and Harry Bradley Foundation, National Christian Foundation, National Review, Newton D. and Rochelle F. Becker Foundation, Oak Initiative, Randall Foundation, have you gone to sleep yet? Really Big Coloring Books, Inc., Reclaiming America for Christ, Rush Limbaugh Show, Russell Berry Foundation, Sarah Scafie Foundation, Savage Nation, Security Solutions International, Traditional Values Coalition, Truth and Love Project, Washington Times and WND. This is a list of the enemies of care, and they claim we are Islamophobic. And they published this list a few days after the slaughter in Orlando. This list, I believe, is the only list of valuable organizations in the United States of America. And this is a list of people and organizations that should be respected, not reviled. But we have a government that is upside down. Now, I want to backtrack for a minute. I want you to do me a favor. The voting began to the Hall of Fame. I'm one of four being nominated in the spoken word. This is the first time I know that the listeners themselves have the power, not the insiders in the industry, which I think is actually refreshing and wonderful. It's so simple, it's hard to believe. You text 36500 and you put in the word savage. Now, many of you don't have cell phones or iPhones. I know that many of the older people are saying, how can I do it? You call a niece, a nephew, a cousin, a brother, who has an actual thing called a cell phone. Remember those little things? Even a little old flip phone, the kind used by organized crime in New York. And you can actually text on those old devices, savage to 36500. And, I'm lobbying very heavily for it, because if I am not for myself, who will be you? Who's going to tell you about it? Someone else in radio is going to tell you to vote for me? Why do I want it so much? Do you think I need a little award on a mantle? What is it going to do for me? I'm looking forward to being at the Radio Hall of Fame, I think it's in November, and getting up and thanking my audience for supporting my message of borders, language, and culture all these 22 years. In other words, I'm using it as a podium to advance my agenda. I'm letting it out of the bag now because it's too late for them to stop me from being nominated. I've been nominated. They can't withdraw the nomination. I think I'm allowed to tell you to vote for me. Maybe if I violated the law, I don't know about it. No one said you can't. But it's my message that I care about more than anything else. That's the legacy. The legacy is borders, language, and culture. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Well, as the show comes to an end, there's a heck of a lot of news out there. And to me, the biggest story is what's coming up this week with the vote of whether to leave the European Union. You know that the people who were wanting to leave, the Brexit people, were way ahead in the polls, until the very suspicious murder of a liberal politician by a white man. Suddenly it moved in the other direction. I don't think it was by chance, personally. But here's something you need to know if you're listening to me in Britain. Do you know about that imam, that preacher, the hate preacher, Chaudhry, Anjem Chaudhry, who hates Westerners, who says Islam will prevail? He says he backs the Remain movement because the EU courts are softer on his Islamist friends. the EU courts are softer on his Islamist friends, and he says that we should remain with the EU and not separate from them. What more do you fools in Britain need to know? How stupid can you be? Well, Lord, I'm asking a question. How stupid can you be? Look at America. Randy on KSFO, line 5. What's on your mind, Randy?
Thanks for taking my call, Dr. Savage. Wanted to thank you for taking the nomination for your radio award. I think the importance of that is sending the message for the American people, which is what Donald Trump is doing today. And I caught part of your interview this afternoon, which I did get the website. I will follow up. That was probably the best information I received this week, and I want to thank you for that, for all your
efforts. Well, that woman is one of the bravest women on earth, a Muslim woman who wants to reform Islam, and so articulate, and she's called an Islamophobe by CARE. It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, unreal. I've, for the last couple of years, been trying to lead a charge in my area. I'm thinking about, but now people are coming around, and I hope it's not too late. And she just revived me, and thank you. That information needs to be repeated and spread throughout the world.
Well, I thank you for listening to the show. I'm sending you a copy of Teddy and Me to put our mind on something more beautiful than the invasion of America by a barbaric force represented by the American media and by barbaric front groups. Make no mistake about it. This country is being invaded by barbarians, 7th century barbarians. As the woman said, who is a Muslim herself, she said, we moved to the West to get away from them, and now Obama and Western leaders are so either gulled by them or weak or stupid that they're bringing in 7th century Muslims rather than a 21st century Muslims, and she said she wants to reform Islam. So stay on the line, and I thank you for recommending that people go to the National Radio Hall of Fame voting site, which is really on their iPhone, 36500, 36500. Savage, that's it. And by doing so, it's not the plaque I need. I need the message to get out there because, believe me, should I win this award, which I deserve, compared to, I'm running against someone from NPR, if you can believe it. And I'm proud to say none of the other competitors on the list to win that award were named by CARE. So I wear it as a badge of honor. I will speak out, should I win, about my message of borders, language, and culture at the awards ceremony. And that's why I need your vote. 36500 Savage, period, simple. 36500 Savage. Thanks for being with us on a great day. Good night.